It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to The Next Room. It is always a good day when I can step out into my small recording studio. My puppy is curled up down by my feet. She likes to hang out with me and kind of listen to the interesting guests that I have on The Next Room. Super excited about the gentleman that's coming on the show today. We are going to talk about peace, love, laughter, compassion, joy, and clowning around with Patch Adams. That's right. Patch Adams is here today, founder of the Gesundheit Institute. It's a nonprofit healthcare organization. We're going to unpack everything there is, and I'm going to send you to patchadams.org so you can kind of follow along, sign up, make a donation, and get involved, because it is absolutely extraordinary what this man has done in his short time on the planet. Patch Adams, welcome to The Next Room.
Well, thank you. Why is it called The Next Room?
Well, it is called The Next Room because my dear friend Budgie, who is no longer on this side, gave me the name of the show because she felt that once you left your earthly shell, you just kind of go into the next room, whatever is next. Not that anyone has a answer or a true vibe on that, but she just felt that we're here and then we're sort of there, wherever there is. So she gave me the name of the show, and I absolutely love it. So that is why it is called The Next Room.
Okay, well, let's go.
Okay.
Feel free. I have no privacy, so you can ask any questions.
I love that. You have no privacy. Okay, so you graduate from medical school in 1971. You have been a clown almost your entire life. So let's talk about how you brought happiness and joy and humanity into the healthcare situation.
Well, before I entered medical school, I have always been a pretty extreme extrovert and observer of life, and have read a huge number of books, a lot of it the world's great literature, and I became an activist in my later teens, first through the horror of segregation, and then just seeing that that was its form, and peace and justice were other forms, and nature was another form, and all of them were important. And so I've put my nose in them all. I entered medical school with the idea to study healthcare delivery, which right now is the number one reason you lose your home and 80% of bankruptcies. Mm. And I knew very quickly that if I had to be a doctor like they were talking about, I should quit school. But I realized I could be exactly the doctor I wanted to be. So I've never charged money. And I was trained to be a doctor in 7 minutes, and I like a 3 or 4 hour initial interview.
Wow.
Because I like 19th century novels, one could say, and I think people are complicated, and I also like to spend so much time with them as a physician that they can't believe a physician is spending so much time with them. Hmm. Often they become more open and certainly tell you things that they may never have told someone, certainly a health professional. It might interest you, in medical school, I didn't really get one lecture on health. No lectures on love or friendship. And I was so appalled when I found out that they labeled loneliness depression so as to make it a medical problem that you need an antidepressant for, which are the number one prescribed medicines in the world. Hmm. I don't believe in mental illness. I never disliked a patient enough to give a mental illness diagnosis or medication. Have I said enough?
No, you keep going. I mean, you founded the Gesundheit Institute because of your belief in changing the healthcare system. So tell me.
Well, I wanted to practice in a way that felt good.
Right.
And that it was going to change and be different than the system was also true, but I knew I couldn't do it their way.
Right.
It was a very male-dominated system that was, what can I say, but profit-oriented and not really dealing with people and who they are.
Right.
So, Gesundheit, some of its basic premises is that all the care will be free. We won't carry malpractice insurance. We won't accept any medical insurance, third-party reimbursement. But the practitioner can spend as much time with the patient as they want. And that the hospital is the home of the practitioners, and that's where patients would come. And so, basically, they came to stay with us as friends. And we very quickly became farmers, very quickly became performers, and so it was like in those days, the term funny farm was one of the words used. So the 13 years we were actively seeing patients, we were 12 to 20 adults in a six-bedroom house with 5 to 50 overnight guests a night. We had 500 to 1,000 people in our home each month. And, you know, we learned to grow food. We learned to make meals and clean up after them. My longest hug was 12 hours.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I told the person I wasn't going to let go of them until they were committed to living.
Wow. How?
And,
go ahead.
And, of course, made it fun and curious. And it's why I've memorized a lot of poems to be able to pull them out when I wanted to. And our house was a playground. People called us the Zanies. Zany being how we were behaving.
So is this all based on the generosity of individuals that are listening to this show, that are committed to the restructure of this healthcare system?
Well, I mean, there are many ways to tackle the U.S. healthcare system. It is a vulgar, greedy business. But if a person doesn't want to do the radical idea of making a hospital, at least they can be friendly, vibrant, and loving with every interaction, even if it's only 7 minutes. So one thing I would recommend listeners to do is, if you don't feel radical enough to change your style, at least you can at least be nice and add things as you feel comfortable. So I wasn't trained in massage, but I massaged most every patient. And it was fascinating to live communally. I think it was the smartest thing I've ever done. I think we are naturally tribal animals. that nuclear family was probably the worst decision of history. I mean, women didn't get the right to vote till 1893. I guess they were just chattel.
With what has been going on with the COVID virus, you went from 200 lectures and performances a year.
250 to 300 days a year.
Oh, my. Okay. So now what? What are you doing, Patch? Are you just...
I'm answering all my mail, so I've answered about 500,000 letters.
Okay.
From 139 countries. So it's nothing to get a five-page letter. And I make a lot of phone calls. You know, a lot of people have promised me things and they haven't delivered, so I remind them.
Okay.
And I study. And, you know, we own 320 acres in Pocahontas County, West Virginia, three waterfalls, a four-acre lake, a mountain of hardwood trees. We've built three beautiful smaller buildings, and the shell of our first big building, which will be a teaching center. And I just try to raise funds.
Right. Do you find that other places on the planet, other countries, are intrigued by what you're doing? And do you see this as potentially an opportunity to take the Gesundheit Institute other places?
Well, that's why I've lectured in 82 countries in every state.
Right.
And why I've answered letters from all over the world.
Is anyone currently following your format?
Well, I don't really check up on people. And there's not a single format. I mean, I would be happy if people simply became nice after hearing me speak. Became friendly. If they want to add to that some social change and perhaps attempt communal life, or at least have one project around nature. Nothing I study says we will be a species in 100 years, that through climate change we'll be extinct. And so one doesn't have to adapt everything that I'm talking about. They can, again, if people would just decide to be friendly, that would be gigantic. If they would decide not to suffer. I chose at 18 to never have another bad day. And I'm 76 and haven't had a bad day since then.
So how does an 18-year-old decide that they're never going to have another bad day? What led you to that?
Thoughtfulness.
Okay.
I decided at 18 to be six qualities: happy, funny, loving, cooperative, creative, and thoughtful. You know, I was reading Dostoevsky in my teens, and Dickens, and huge numbers. My library is probably 40,000 books. No John Grisham. And so I decided to be a doctor in my later teens. And then I started to look at the way hospitals and healthcare was delivered to see what kind of doctor I wanted to be. I went to medical school, and it was such a patriarchal business that I very quickly, slowly designed the Gesundheit Institute. And I think we tried to live it as best we could with as little as we had in those first 13 years. And then I realized that I really needed to spend my time fundraising. That it's nice to be a model, but we, as a person, but we need models of healthcare delivery, or people are going to think that it's the way it is.
So we need models for healthcare delivery. And you mentioned earlier it's a number one reason that people are losing their homes right now.
Their medical bill.
Through their medical bills. How do we stop that from happening?
Well, I mean, first I would say think about it. So that, I mean, Patch is saying maybe there's no mental illness. It's just a way to make a lot of money. Antidepressants are the number one prescribed medicines.
Mm-hmm.
I never disliked a patient enough to give an antidepressant. And so they can work on their own health. There weren't really lectures in medical school about health. But think about, you know, I've done 45 to 50 years of yoga, weightlifting, and aerobics. So at 76, I'm really fit. Can dance rock and roll for hours. That you think about what you're eating. I mean, I think the thing to explore the most is your relationship with people. Can you be a vibrant human being publicly? Zippity-doo-dah is what I'm talking about.
Well, let's talk about that. We were, prior to coming on, we had discussed a little bit about, you had said you have no smartphone, and you have not mastered the computer.
I don't know how to use one.
Okay.
I have an assistant who's a master at it.
There you go.
But please don't send me an email. Write me a letter.
So why do you feel that these modern day contraptions are ruining us as a society?
Well, by what happens in interactions. I mean, the truth is, how is anybody lonely? You can sit there and send emails to huge numbers of people and yet still claim you're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
That huge numbers of people I don't find have a I say that there's no mental illness, that three things cause what is called mental illness: the loss of tribal life, unconnected to nature, and unconnected to the arts. It was very rare for me to find a patient connected to nature. They might have a swimming pool. That's not really what I'm talking about.
Right.
The bliss of watching a bird. We were this morning talking about the thrill that everything green that I see is spitting out oxygen for me to breathe.
Yeah.
And I spit out carbon dioxide so they can breathe. And yet we think we're special. Without the green, we're nothing.
Yeah.
The more I delved into people's lives with those 3 or 4 hour initial interviews or all the letter writings, the more I found out the embarrassment of modern human living. So that my estimate was that 10% of marriages were healthy.
Yeah.
They were, quote, married, but you don't say that and also say that you're married.
Right.
And that huge numbers of fathers especially don't relate to their children.
Mm.
Except to boss them around.
Yeah.
And yet there's a fabulous, unbelievable world waiting for them in their children.
Yeah.
And most of them never discover it.
Hmm.
I have to say this, probably a fairly radical thing for a lot of listeners. I've never had a thought about God in my life, or any of the gods or religions. I actually have found that a lot of religions were created to control people. And of course, God was a male, or the gods that I heard of were male. And I think most everything good in history came from women.
Mm.
As I think most all of the problems of history were caused by men. My youngest rape is 3. What can a man possibly be thinking?
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know,
And how is it that they allow it to happen? How is it? I haven't found one public school K through 12 in the world in all of my travels that teaches 1 hour on loving.
Hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, we need to get back to the basics. Talk to me about Go Clowns.
Well, I don't know the term Go Clowns. We never used.
Oh, it's on your website.
Oh, but I don't know how to get to our website.
Oh, that's right. Sorry about that.
And so maybe it's relating to people knowing that before COVID, we did 7 to 9 clown trips a year.
Right.
For over 30 years. Ages 3 to 92 went on clown trips.
So what is a clown trip? I guess that's what a better question.
Okay. It's the 7 regular ones were Russia, that which we did for over 35 years. Morocco, Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Ecuador, and the Amazon of Peru. We've also taken clowns into wars 5 times.
Wow.
And, you know, clowning really is simply permission to be a nut. Men's clothes are boring, so you got to ideally get men to wear wild and crazy clothes, and it's much easier for women to do that. And it's funny, we never require any training. We trick people into being clowns because they're with repeaters who are coming because they love to do it and because they see clowns can instantly go up to a person and hug them with or without asking and be naughty. Fart jokes. I've got 4 sizes of whoopee cushion. The grandmother toot, the normal size, and 2 boomers.
Oh.
And that my clown character is based on a Down syndrome adult. Because I've been with a huge number of them, and being funny is their way of life.
Mm.
Hm. And so I one of my props is the world's largest underpants, because underpants are funny. I've had 2 presidents of countries in my underpants with me publicly. So, you know, clowning is a trick to get love close.
I love that. Great quote.
That I know that as my character, I can go up and literally hug anybody I want to anywhere. Whether it's a security guard at the airport or whoever, a grump. And that if as many as 40 people have come on a clown trip at a time, and, you know, nobody has a chance against 40 clowns.
Oh, goodness. Reminds me of my dad was a Shriner, and his best friend, Bob Hafner, was a clown for the Shrine. And they used to come up and entertain our small farm town, and you just couldn't help yourself. There's so much joy associated with clowning. It's really quite an art form, isn't it?
Well, the fool is a holy character. We are given great permission that we can do anything. We can get presidents in our underpants. Who gets to do that?
A clown. A clown does.
And, you know, a clown can be many kinds. They can be noisy. They can be quiet, even silent. And I have had the wildest time of my life as a clown. All over the world. I mean, in nursing homes, in prisons. Usually when I go to a hospital, I ask who is suffering the most. Not necessarily because I feel I can relieve their suffering, but I'm not afraid to be with it.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, you know, go ahead.
We've been to countless orphanages, and I can get hundreds upon hundreds of kids to stand without me holding on my shoulders. And my younger son has been on huge numbers of trips. And there are X number of people who've been on a number of trips, and we are crazy friends together.
I love that. So I told you this would go fast. We're almost coming to a close. I will put links for donating and your global outreach and your education. I'll put that all within the show page that will be on Empower Radio Network, and I'll make sure I get everything to your assistant, since you'll probably never see this, nor read about it, nor hear it.
He may print it out for me.
There you go.
Sometimes he does.
There you go.
He printed
awesome.
Out two sheets about you.
You're like, oh.
That's in the beautiful Dying Expo.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. You're going to
and
be.
My story.
Yeah. Good. Well, you are going to be, speaking of the beautiful Dying Expo, coming up in November 12th, 13th, and 14th, digital, beautiful community of individuals. We're covering everything in that community, death, dying, grief, cultural traditions. We're going to cover it all, mysticism. But you're going to be a keynote speaker for the beautiful
diet. I wrote a paper called Fun Death.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, you have to die.
Yes.
Why not make it fun?
There you go. So when it comes your time to leave this planet, are you going to go out with your red nose on?
I'd like to go out a lot more outrageously than that.
I hope you have it written down. That's great. Do you have any thoughts about that, or does it not matter to you?
Well, the thing is, I tell people you can't know you're dead. So you're living, 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 living. So you don't know dead. I mean, the religions talk about life after death and going to heaven and all that stuff. I never saw a dead person move. And it may be controversial to say I've never believed even for a second about God. But I think that were there a God, how can they allow violence?
Mm.
And I have seen and heard and felt violence in a monstrous way all the time.
Yeah.
And if a God could stop it and they don't, then the hell with them.
Well, all righty then. You've been listening to The Next Room. Patch Adams is my guest today. PatchAdams.org is where you can go to read about the Gesundheit Institute. He is going to be a keynote speaker at the Beautiful Dying Expo coming up November 12th, 13th, and 14th. Patch, thank you for taking time out of your day. I really do appreciate you coming on The Next Room.
Well, we didn't put in a plug for fundraising, so maybe I'll just say that, you know, I'm in the 51st year of a project that I thought would take five. It's irresponsible. We've eliminated 85% of the cost of healthcare delivery, and the movie promised to build us and gave me nothing, but 90% of the promises made me didn't happen. So please, if you're listening and you love the idea of a fun, silly, loving hospital for pennies, please help us. We are for real.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Patch, for coming on The Next Room.
Well, I guess I'm now going to go to The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.